find our text. Our text for today is, again, it's Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. If you're physically able to stand, would you please do that? And let's honor the reading of God's Word with our full, undivided attention. And then we'll spend a few minutes attempting to understand what God is saying to us. Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow in your presence now and ask you to help us to rightly understand what you are saying to your people. Help us, Lord, to apply it to our lives properly and correctly. And then grant us grace to order our lives in accordance with your will, for your glory, for the good of our own souls and the progress of the kingdom of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. You may be seated. Our subject for the last time this week then is God. He's able. He is able. And let's just connect the dots real quick, since it's been a little while since we were together. What we've looked at thus far in these two paragraphs is this. We saw that God desires every believer to be anchored in his love. God's love is what anchors us, not much how much Bible you know, not how many meetings you attend and all of that kind of thing, how close you and your Christian friends are. It's God's love that anchors you. He will be with you. He said, I will what? Never leave you nor forsake you. And when you know he loves you that intensely, then you can persevere. All right? We saw that this being anchored in God's love, we saw in verses 14 and 15, begins with a right relationship with the Father. You're not going to be anchored in his love unless you know him. You can't know about him and expect to be anchored in his love. You can't just have more knowledge of the Bible. You've got to what? Know him. And you can't know the Father unless you know the Son. Right? Jesus said what? No one comes to the Father except what? By me or through me. So it begins with the right relationship with the Father, which is established as you, particularly for your younger people, you've got to trust Jesus. Not just know about him, you've got to put your past, your future, all of it, you've got to place all of that in his care and trust him with your eternal future. A true relationship then, once you have a true relationship with the Father, then it will lead you to true prayer. You want to communicate with him. Okay, that's what prayer is. It's communication with the Almighty God, who is now your Father, if you're in a right relationship with him. We saw that in verse 14. Out of true prayer, then, with the Father, saw in verses 16 and 17, that a believer then becomes strengthened on the inside when Christ dwells in your heart fully. When you're no longer fighting God and resisting God. You're no longer grieving the Holy Spirit. You're no longer resisting the Holy Spirit. Now you're at a place of where Christ settles in. He's already there. But when you're no longer resisting him, that's what that verse says. That he dwells fully. Right? He's in what? Control. even when you're in a very tense situation and you're tempted to say something, Christ in you restrains you. When you're tempted to do something, and all of us, there is no one that's not tempted. We're all, right? But we all need to embrace the truth of the Bible. There's no temptation except that which is what? Common. We have different situations going on, but the temptation is just as strong for me as it is for you. Amen. Right? Amen. But Christ in us, is he'll anchor you so that you don't have to what? Yield Amen. To Amen. The temptation. Amen. Why? Because we've been set free. Come on, yeah? Free no longer to obey the desires of my flesh. I'm free now I'm at liberty to obey Christ. Uh-huh. Yes? Yeah. And so we're strengthened on the inside when Christ dwells fully in us. We saw, then the text goes on to talk about not only just being anchored in the love of God, he says that God wants us to comprehend his love. Mm-hmm. Not just intellectually. God, the word comprehend in the Greek actually means to grasp it. We say this a lot. I can't get my brain around it. You ever say that? You know, some things just seem like I just can't. But God says that my love you can grasp. It's going to be way bigger. I remember when the an old preacher I heard years ago when I was getting when God had first saved me. He said that getting to know God is like getting in a rowboat with a teacup and start rowing out in the ocean with your teacup. And he said, you can dip your cup down in the ocean and your cup's going to be what? Full. But you haven't dented the ocean. That's the way it is getting to know God. You get your cup full and there's so much more to know, right? And that's what he wants from us, is that you can comprehend his love and your cup can be running over with God's love, and you're going to find out there's so much more, right? Yeah. So God wants us to comprehend and to know this love that is beyond knowledge. And that comes from prayer. You cannot know the things of God unless you ask him, it's through prayer, right, that he makes this available to us. We saw in verse 18 then that the Holy Spirit enables each believer to comprehend the fullness of God's love. What's the point, Brother William? This is not for special people. This is not for preachers and the people that you might think are elite. This is for everyone that believes. God wants every one of his children to comprehend the fullness of his love. Because he doesn't want us being infants and babies, right? Remember, Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said that you're babies. You still what? You're on milk, and you need to. God wants us to grow, right? You ought to be on meat, right? And so, who is that? All of us. He wants all of us to grow in his love. And then finally, we saw in verse 19 that God wants every believer to know this by experience. You are not going to know how much God loves you unless you go through the trials of life. Mm-hmm. See, that's the problem with the theology nowadays that makes people think that you're not going to have trouble. Uh-huh. Troubles are what teach us about God's love. Uh-huh. That's the reason James says what? Count it what? Oh. Count it all joy when you face trials. Why? Because God's going to teach you something. Yeah. Something about him and something about who? You. Yes? And the more I see about me and my weaknesses and my flaws, the more I love him. Yes? And so we don't run from our trials. I'm not saying, and the Bible's clear. Now, none of it's pleasant, right? Hebrews 12. It's not. The Bible does not try to portray trials and the discipline of God as pleasant. But just as a parent disciplines a child, they know that it's not pleasant, but it's for what? They're good, and so it is for you and I, right? But we got to learn. All right, so then that's where we've come thus far. And I want to take the next few minutes then and kind of flesh out these last two verses. In verses 14 through 17, we saw that God expects us to be rooted and grounded in his love. And we just talked about that. That's where we're anchored in the love of Christ through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. Verses 18 and 19, God expects us to comprehend his love. And we saw that we are anchored in the love of Christ through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. We comprehend the love of Christ through prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit. Today, then, for our next few minutes, I want to talk about the potential of God's love. Remember, we just talked to the children about the power of God's love. I want you to see that in God's love, there is tremendous potential and power. So let's think about this power. You got your Bible there at verse 20? Look at verse 20 again. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that works at work within us. Now, what does that mean? I mean, many of you know verse 20, but what does it mean? Well, I want you to think about it in the context of what we just talked about. For many, trying to comprehend the love of God that's beyond knowledge is just, it just sounds like something that isn't even worth pursuing. How can God expect me to know that which is beyond knowledge? All that he's saying is that this is going to take you your whole life. That's what he's saying. Don't think that you're just going to arrive. You will be learning and comprehending God's love for the rest of your what? Your life. And I'm going to tell you even further. Even on into eternity, you're going to still be growing in the great wonder of how much God has loved you. Can you fathom being in heaven? Knowing how you lived? Really? See, I know stuff about me. You don't know about me. And same... Right? Think about how blessed it's going to be to know that a lot of the fixed people you ran with and things that they were doing what you were doing or you were doing what they were doing, you're there and they're not. You see, that's going to be the wonder of God's love. And we're going to grow in that. That's one of the reasons that Christ will be the center. Because every time you look at Christ, you're going to realize he's the reason I'm here. He's the only one that deserves worship. Right? And you won't have the kind of confusion that we have down here. You're going to know for sure who deserves worship in heaven. All right? And so we're going to be learning more about his love. When it comes then to the power, what about this power of God's love? The first thing I notice in verse 20 is that God is unlimited in his ability to do his will. That's the reason it says, now unto him who is able to do. God is able to do anything that he desires. Unlimited. There is no limit. He has unlimited resource and ability. That's the reason he's God, right? Notice likewise, though, that God can do far more than we can imagine, even in our prayers. You know how sometimes you pray and we try to paint out the best scenario? God's got no problem with that, with you talking to him about the way you want a situation to turn out. Right? I mean, Jesus said, if possible, what? Remove this cup from me. But what? Not my way. So you see, God's got no problem with you talking to him about the way you'd like for something to the situation to develop. But he wants you to submit, when it's all said and done, to what? His will. You see the difference? He can handle you talking about what you like and want. But ultimately, a good father wants you to. You remember that old program, Father Knows What? Best? Our Father really does know best. So he'll listen. But he wants you to submit to what is best for you. And what this verse says is that the reason we want to do that is because God is able to do far more than you even pray about. Our prayers are so limited when it comes to God's ability to do, because our minds are so limited. We're locked up in space and time. God is outside of space and time. He's not limited by resources. Right? And so He is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think. This is absolutely wonderful. Far more than you can even imagine when you pray. So can you sense the Spirit of God drawing you in here to say, stop doubting how much God can reveal His love to you. But now don't lose the context. Don't start thinking about a house and a car and a job. You see, Jesus said those things can be added, right? If you trust Him, He'll add those things. That's not the issue here. The issue is He wants you to grow so much in love with Him that when He gives you these things, you won't fall in love with them.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Willie, why is that important? Trust me.
Yeah.
Read your Old Testament. Uh-huh. How many times did God deliver a people and bless them and they fall in love with what? The stuff that they had. Right? That's right. It becomes idolatry. So God wants us to grow so much in love with Him that when He gives you something, that you won't fall in love with it. And that's the problem with loving your grass and your car and your couch. And your... Now, I know what we mean, but we just need to be careful with that kind of stuff. God made it clear, right? You do what? Love the Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what? People. Love your neighbor. Right? That's what's reserved for our love.
Yeah.
And see, when you're growing in that, then He can add.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, He can add things because they know you're not going to be distracted by that. But in our prayers, we're more concerned about the stuff over here than growing, you see, in love with Him. You get it?
Yeah.
And so that's the thing is that God wants us to see this incredible power that'll be worked out in our love when that'll be worked out in our life when we're growing in our love for God, right? Far more. Now here's where it gets really important. I mean, this is where it gets really thrilling. Now you notice that He says God can do far more than we can imagine in our prayers, but then the end of that is what's really important. God is able to work this through you. He's able to do this through you and me in ways that we can't imagine. Okay? And so that's what He's... You look at the verse. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think. Look, according to the power at work, what? Within us. The Holy Spirit is there, and He's wanting to show us what God can do when we will let the love of God flow, not just in us, but through us.
Yeah.
He's got so many wonderful things for us to do.
Yeah.
Way more than you're thinking about because you're stuck on a job or a car. God's got so much more that He wants you to do. So that when He puts you in that job or that place, you'll be there showing people His love.
Amen.
You see, if you get the job before you know the love of God, then all you're doing is hustling, trying to be like everybody else. Trying to keep the job because you don't realize that it's the love of God that gave you the job. And it's the love of God that'll keep you there. I tell you, God had to teach me that emphatically. You're brought into an engineering environment that where I there was no camouflage of the difficulty that was in front of me. Many of my bosses made that emphatically clear to me. I even had a boss once that. He wanted me to know that he was going to put me on one of the most difficult jobs there. But that job turned out to be wonderful. Not because of his plan. You remember with Joseph? You remember you know the story of Joseph?
Yeah.
How did the book of Genesis end? Joseph had to tell his brothers, "You what? You intended it for evil, but God planned it for good." Now that's what we all have to realize about the love of God. If you love God, where He takes you with that love, He'll keep you in that love. And you remember how Peter said, John says that perfect love, what? Casts out fear. Perfect love will keep you from being afraid when they're handing out termination notices.
Amen.
When they're downsizing.
Yeah.
And I don't want this to be about me, but I remember very clearly when my group was moving to Austin, Texas. And I had to tell my boss that God didn't give me any peace about going. And so, they basically told me, well, you'll be fired. And that's supposed to bring people into compliance. But I had perfect peace from God that I wasn't to go to Austin, Texas. God had a call on my life here. And I don't need to take you through all the logistics, but He got me another job, right? And I wasn't fired. the love of God, once the powerful work of God's love is in you, then you're not guided by consequences and threats. And you're not just sunk into worry and stress. And that's what we've tried to learn over these few weeks. God wants us to be anchored in His love so that you can handle stress. And you don't have to stay on painkillers and so many other things that we find Christians yielding to when the Spirit of God says, I got you. I can cover you. I can handle that. What is the remedy to worry, by the way? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but what? In everything by prayer and so, not by Excedrin and Aleve and I don't know what the rest of them are. But I'm not being critical about medication, you understand. I'm just saying that God has a remedy for stress and pressure.
Yes, He does.
And He's saying that if you learn to pray right, I'll relieve the stress. Because if you remember for Philippians 4, 6, and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And then what's the result? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will do what? Keep you from stress. Guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus. But I got to be growing in that. There's one thing to know what those verses said. But when you get under pressure, is that what you're doing? Or are you just reaching for the the bottle, you know? So the issue then here is that there is power in the love of God that He wants us to embrace and know. The power of God's love enables us to obey Him in extraordinary and supernatural ways. In other words, listen to me. When God's love has so gripped your heart, you can forgive people that have wounded you so deeply. See, you couldn't stand to look at their face until the love of God flooded your heart. And then you could forgive them. There may be not one ounce of remorse in them, but you could still.
Amen.
What did Jesus say? Y'all know the story, don't you? His murderers are there in front of Him. Not a one of them remorseful. What did He say? Father, what? Forgive them. Why? They don't know what they're doing. See, the love of God can enable you to do the same thing. You don't have to get mad all the time and even if your lips ain't cussing. If it's going on in your heart. Jesus said if you've done it, what? In your heart, you've already done it. Right?
Amen.
And so the power of the love of God can set you free to where you can forgive the unlovely. Yeah? You believe that? That power, the love of God, can help you to be patient with people. It can help you to be repetitious. You say, I've covered that with you once and twice, right? Remember what Peter's issue? Lord, how many times do I need to forgive somebody? What? Up to seven times? He thought, well, this is magnanimous. If I've forgiven somebody seven times, what was his point? I can take revenge. If I've forgiven you seven times on number eight, you can count on getting something here, okay? But God says, no, no, hold on. Seven what? Times 70. So in other words, if you are foolish enough to sit there and count 490 times that somebody has... You see the point? No. Forgiveness comes from the heart that recognizes I've been forgiven. I have no right to withhold forgiveness from what?
Amen.
When I've been forgiven so much, amen, I have no right to withhold forgiveness from someone else. The love of God does that for me, right? And so that's what I want you to see about this power right here. It gives you the power to sacrifice and to endure and teach and witness to people when you may not feel like they are worthy. Remember how Paul said it in 2 Corinthians 5:14? He said, the love of Christ controls me. That's exactly what I want to communicate to you. The love of God needs to control each one of us. All right, last point. Not only do you see power in this verse, but you see glory. You see glory. God's love is designed to bring glory. Now, I should not have to say this to Christians, but you know that the glory is not to us.
Amen.
God's love is designed what? To bring glory to Him. Yes? And so, when we think about this, I want you to notice this. Well, let's look at, you got verse 21? Look at it. To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Every believer should desire. This ought to be the strong desire of your soul. You should desire that God get glory from your life. You should, that should be the ultimate desire of your life, that God be glorified in and through me. Right? You remember how Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 10? Whether we eat, what? Or drink, or whatever you do, what? Do all to the glory of God. And Jesus said it another way in Matthew 5. He said, let your light shine before people in such a way that what? They'll see your good works and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. That should be the burning desire of every Christian in this room. That God get glory from your life. And when you love God like this, you will rather than people having a piece of your mind, you'll want them to leave wondering, what's wrong with you? When you give people a piece of their mind, they don't have to wonder what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
They wonder why you call yourself a Christian.
Yeah.
I can do that. Right, you see?
Yeah.
But God wants them to walk away from you just dumbfounded.
Yeah.
The man, the centurion
yeah.
that was saved at the cross, you remember what he said? I've never seen a man die like that. You see, we need to suffer differently. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and what? Say all manner of evil. Blessed! What? How can you take that, Willie? Because God says, I'm blessed. And He says, my reward may not come from this company, but great is your reward, what? In heaven. Come on, Christian. You got to get this. We got to get this. This is what the love of God is for. It's for us to be able to handle life. So when the apostles say you're to love life and have good days, He's not just talking. God wants every Christian to love life and what? Have good days. And that doesn't mean that the circumstances are always good. But God is good. And God is working good.
Yeah.
And I'm going to enjoy. This is the day, what? That the Lord made.
Yeah.
That's no reason. That's nothing wrong with this day. Nothing. Why is my joy? I got the joy, what? Of the Lord. You getting it? And it comes, you see, when I've met with God and I refresh my love. You remember, I'm just getting all off here. But you remember in the book of Revelation, a part of the problem was one of the churches that love, what? Had grown cold. Remember that? That's a part of the problem. Life, if you're not careful, will cause you to get so caught up in the routine that you're not growing in your love for God. And God said, I'd rather you be what? Hot or cold. Than what? We're getting too satisfied with just being lukewarm in our love for God. Lukewarm, just it won't cut it. There's no glory to God when you just lukewarm in your love. When you hot in your love for God, everybody knows. Yeah. You don't have to walk around with all the bling, and I'm not being critical, but you don't have to wear the signs for people to know you're a believer.
Yeah. Amen.
Jesus said, "By this, all men what?" Well, know you're my disciples, what?
Yeah.
By the love you have one for another.
Yeah.
They're good?
Yeah.
What's this glory? This glory is adoration and worship and homage and praise of God. That's what glory is. And that's what you ought to want from your life. You ought to want God to be praised from your life. People look at you and glorify God. People look at you, folks that used to know you, they ought to look at you and say, what? What happened to you? Right? You go on a job and they realize, well, you ain't acting like us. You're sitting and you're listening to all of us fussing and carrying on and you're just sitting there.
Amen.
What's so, you know, you want them to be inquire. Let them inquire. And you need to be ready to give a what? An answer to anybody that asks you what? About the hope that's in you. You get it? But there's got to be something to ask you a question about. Right? Now, I know I'm belaboring this, but this is what God wants for us. And He's able to do it. He's able to do it. This is not just for some special people. This is for every Christian. You believe it? When people observe the supernatural power of God's love working in us, they will glorify God. There ain't no way you can do that on your own. Yeah. So you see how it says it there? To Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. Why? Why is that? Why is it in the church and in Christ Jesus? Here's what I believe. The church is the body. Jesus is the head. So if the body is going to give glory, it's going to give glory to the head. Because the head is running. Right? We need to remember that. That when there is glory given about us as a church, the glory needs to go to the head.
Amen.
Ain't nothing so good about what we're doing that didn't come from the head.
Amen.
Yes?
Amen.
So it's glory in the church and in Christ Jesus.
Uh-huh.
How long?
Amen.
Ever! God wants us to see that Christ will be glorified by these supernatural ways that we obey and love forever. It's going to bring glory to Christ forever and ever and ever. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power and dominion and riches and authority. How long? Forever and ever. Yeah. Yes. That ought to be our desire, is that God be glorified forever and ever. Amen. God enables believers then to love and obey Him supernaturally for His glory. For His glory. So as we conclude then our thoughts for today, I say this to you, my brothers, my sisters. I want to tell you again. Now y'all listen to me. I know it's warm, but stay with me just a few more minutes. Listen to me. We don't need to get all of our problems fixed to know the love of God. Stop sitting here waiting for everything to get worked out. That's not God's plan. His plan isn't to fix everything in your house, everything on your job. You see, that's the world's way. You're going to wait to obey God until all, you know, they call what? Getting all your what? Ducks in a row. Come on. We're going to be growing and learning for the rest of our lives. So you can't wait to do this until things get fixed in your life. God wants you to grow in your love for Him while it's messed up. Because He wants you to know, I can love you in that messed up thing.
Yes, 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 amen.
I can give you joy,
yes,
and it's still messed up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember, Paul said, I prayed to the Lord, what, 3 times about this thorn. Because you know his issue. I'd be such a good Christian if I didn't have this thing, this thorn. But God said, no, Paul, it don't work that way. No, you know I'm being a little... crass. He said, actually, you're going to keep that thorn. And I gave that thorn to you to keep you humble. And actually, I want you to know, Paul, that even though you think you can't handle it, my grace is sufficient. Paul said, I'm through with that. I'd rather boast in my weaknesses and my infirmities, right? Because when I am weak, God just told me I'm strong, right? And so we can't wait until our problems, get all of our problems fixed before you decide that you're going to work on this. You can comprehend the fullness of God's love for you, being filled up with His love until your cup overflows. That's what this text teaches us. You can know by experience just how much God loves you right now. You can know it in your issue, in your situation, in your difficulty, even though everything about you says that something must be wrong. There's no way this could be happening to me if God loves me. And God's saying, you're thinking wrong. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. There's nothing you can do to make me love you anymore. Now, you need to listen to me. Now, that's one end of it. You can't do anything to make God love you anymore. But I want to tell you something else. Neither can you do anything to make Him love you what? Any less. God's love is what? Perfect. It can't be improved upon. It doesn't matter how much Bible study you do and things you attend. You are not making God love you anymore. Now, you may be growing in your love for Him.
Amen.
That's different.
Amen.
But His love for you is perfect.
Amen.
You getting this? Yeah. And He can love you in your mess just as you are. Thank God for that.
Amen.
That good?
Amen.
The love of God will control you. It will compel you. It will restrain you to do the will of God even when you don't understand. That's what God's love does. You remember I told you about 2 Corinthians 5? The love of God controls us. It compels you to obey God when you don't even understand what you're doing. You don't even know. You don't even see how it's going to fit. That's the reason He says, trust me, what? Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. God gives supernatural power with His supernatural love that causes you to do supernatural things for Him. Now that's the sentence I wrote. You get this now? I want you to listen to this sentence. Now this is the sentence I wrote. God gives supernatural power along with His supernatural love that causes you to do supernatural things for Him. This is amazing. That's the reason God wants us to grow in love for him. Because it's supernatural. It's nothing like you've ever known before. The love of God is what saved me. And that's what I want to grow in, that love, to where I love him with what? All my heart, all my soul, all my might, all my strength. That's what I want to be. Is that where you want to be? Yes. And God will use that to cause us to do supernatural things for him. He is the great and mighty God. He is awesome and omnipotent. When God reveals and releases his divine love in us, he gives us hope, he gives us encouragement, he gives us faith, he gives us joy, he gives us peace, he gives us determination, he gives us endurance, he gives us all that we need to go on. This power and potential from the love of God and the Spirit of God is at work within us. Jesus said it this way. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive what? Power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be what? Witnesses.
Amen. Amen.
I'm telling you.
Amen.
If you grow in the power of the love of God, you will represent him.
Amen.
You will be a witness for Christ. No one would have to make you. You won't need somebody cheerleading you to go be an evangelist. When you love God, you want people to know about the God you love.
Amen. Amen.
Yes? They may not listen to you. That's a whole other issue. But you will be a witness for the Lord when this love is that powerful in you. And it's all of the glory of God. Everything good in us, and everything good from us is because of him. Right?
Yeah.
To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you can know this love today too.
Amen.
If you're not a Christian, you can know this love of God right now. If you're not a Christian, I want you to see that Christ has come so that you might know the love of God. He's here. And he wants you to come to him in faith. And to know this love that surpasses understanding and knowledge. And if you'll just simply embrace him where you are, he'll save you. He'll save you. Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we spent together in your presence. And I want to confess that, Lord, we want to grow in your love. We want to grow in these graces that have come from Christ to us. You know where we are, each one. You know where we are. And would you just meet us here now and lead us to where you want us to go? The soul that does not know you personally in a right relationship, would you save today? The ones that are struggling in their situations today, would you help them to see that everything is available to them to grow in this love of God and grace of Christ. So work among your people today for your glory and for our good. We ask it in Jesus' great name. Amen.